And welcome to the latest edition of the Bundesliga Show. I'm Terry DeFellin from the Bundesbag, and joining me is John Hartley from Bundesliga World. Hello, John.
Hello, Terry. It's good to be back for episode 3.
It is indeed, and we're going to kick off this podcast with a quick butchers at the Champions League. And John, I was in the bookies yesterday lunchtime with my boss, and he said, Terry, you're the German football expert, what do you reckon on Werder Bremen to beat Inter? So what do you think I said to him?
Absolutely not. Do not put your money on Werder Bremen, I would have thought you said.
That's pretty much what I said. I mean, I think I may have put it even stronger than that. I said, under no circumstances you should trust your money on Werder Bremen to beat the European champions and the Italian champions. In other news, Werder Bremen pulled off a shock result last night by beating Inter 3-0. An extraordinary result, given that Werder still end up finishing the bottom of their group. And a bit embarrassing, I should imagine, for Rafa Benitez as well. But Claudio Pizarro is back from injury, and he scored, and Marko Arnautovic as well. Only his second goal of the season, John.
Yeah, I looked at this game, and I mean, obviously, it was a shock result. It was a strange result. Obviously, it was a dead rubber for Inter, and Werder didn't have anything to play for. But the Werder Bremen side that I saw scoring goals last night had a little bit of the Werder Bremen of the beginning of the season about them. Almeida, Arnautovic, Pizarro, behind them Marin and Aaron Hunt. Hey, starting to look like days of old, but hey, I'm not going to get fooled by this one performance, even if it is a shock performance.
Well, no, quite so. I mean, I think that to an extent there's another side to this story, of course, and that's the Inter side of things. Inter, I think it's a fifth or sixth even in the Italian Serie A, and things aren't going too well for Rafa Benitez. So, I mean, there may be an element of Inter's malaise that could conceivably be a factor in Bremen's victory, but not that I'm intending to deliberately take anything away from their achievements. But
I think that you've got to give Bremen credit for a really good result. And I mean, they've had an absolutely wretched season. They've had a wretched Champions League season. So, no Europa League, they're not progressing to the next stage of the Champions League, but give the fans something to cheer about, and that they certainly did. I mean, it was a good attacking performance. I mean, and Arnautovic's goal, very very impressive, very very nice touch to score. It was it had some very positive points about it, and with those three sort of spearheading the attack, then there may be better things to come from Werder Bremen.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, we will talk about Bremen later on in the podcast, about because they're playing Dortmund later on. But Arnautovic is a player I have been impressed with when I see him play, although his finishing has been fairly woeful. Only his second goal this season, so perhaps as you say, a sign of things to come. There were two other German teams in the Champions League, as we know, Bayern Munich, who have just beaten is it Basel just now, 3-0. You watched some of that game, didn't you?
And yes, I did.
We're recording this just after the final whistles have blown around the grounds in Europe, as it happens. And so Bayern have won that, and Schalke have beat quite impressively. Went to Benfica and won there, a dead rubber by all accounts, but they've won their group and go through in some kind of style. And we're going to talk about both of those clubs in part two, when we look back at the next last week's action in the Bundesliga, and we're going to end part one now and proceed, I think, directly to part two. The weekend started badly for Felix Magath after losing 4-1 in the Disney Quiz, which is a popular children's show in Germany, which he participated in. However, his players rallied round their coach and produced a fantastic 2-0 win over the champions Bayern Munich. Goals from Jurado and Benedikt Havidis, if I can pronounce that correctly. John, I recall from last week's pod that you had a feeling that Schalke could produce a result despite the previous week's hammering at Lauten. Do you have any lottery numbers you'd like to throw out to the listeners at this point?
I think if I did, they'd probably only be the numbers from Lost. that kept reoccurring through the series. But that aside...
As someone who doesn't watch Lost, I have absolutely no idea what that means.
Okay, no worries.
But I'm sure that there'll be Lost listening fans will be tickling their ribs with laughter at that one.
Apart from that, well, I do feel a little bit smug about it, I have to say. Because, well, you didn't think it was on the cards, and, you know, in the back of my mind, I didn't think it was on the cards as well. But there was something about a game between these two. As I mentioned last week, it does have a derby feel to it. Two of the biggest clubs in the country, you know, they fought big battles over the years, and if anything was going to bring out a big performance for Schalke, it was a game against Bayern Munich. And we've talked about how frail the Bayern defence can be, and once again they proved it. Bayern had so many chances, some great chances. Manuel Neuer was pulling out save after save. He was absolutely outstanding. It was phenomenal. But that Bayern defence let them down once again. And while Bayern played lots of lovely football through parts of the game, they, you know, some really nice build-up play, everything but the finish. But, you know, when it came down to it, the first goal of the game, a long punt forward from Neuer, some real tenacity from Raul, and Gerardo was there to pick up the pieces. And I think that it shows a little bit more fight and bite about Schalke, which is, well, definitely, it's needed, isn't it?
Absolutely. I was very impressed with Raul for that goal, because I think that it's extremely rare that he would have ever been asked or been required to play that kind of role and to do something like that when he was at Real Madrid, when he was sort of like king of the world. But to come to Schalke, where they're really struggling, I think it shows a great deal for his desire and his professionalism, that he's prepared to chase lost causes in that way, and provide the assist. I mean, yeah, he got a fair amount of his teammate as well, didn't he? And ended up having to go off because he got spat in the mouth by accident.
Yeah, it was a clash with Huntelaar, I think it was, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, with the hunter. And yeah, I thought he was superb. But Gerardo almost made a mess of the finish, but not quite. And Havedi's goal was equally, to an extent, functional. But, I mean, very, very welcome. But strangely enough, it was that same duo that scored against Benfica yesterday in the Champions League. So definitely a question of lightning striking twice. But to return to the subject of Neuer, I understand there's quite a lot of speculation both in the German and, in fact, a degree of speculation in the English media about his destination after Schalke. It's suggested that he will leave Schalke, and it's thought that he may go to Manchester United because they need a goalkeeper, and he is one. And it's also suggested that he might go to Bayern. But I don't know whether or not that's going to be an entirely popular move in Germany, and certainly not an entirely popular move with his teammates, you would think.
Well, yes. We're talking about what's been reported in the press. The Daily Mail. I can't believe I'm admitting that I've read something that has been in the Daily Mail, but on their website they've got a story about Manuel Neuer, and it's entitled "Girl Trouble Could See United Target Neuer Choose Munich Over Manchester." And basically what they're suggesting is due to the fact that Manuel Neuer's girlfriend comes from Munich, that's where they're going to. That's where he's going to go. So it's you know, really in depth stuff, obviously from the Mail. But they bring up the fact that after the Schalke win over Bayern, lots of the Schalke players were singing the famous Die Totenhosen song Bayern, and he wasn't. So what does that mean?
Well, who knows? Or maybe he's affronted by the song. I mean, I understand that Bayern fans find the song quite offensive. Not that Neuer is a Bayern fan, far from it. I don't know whether or not there's any truth in this. It does seem. The thing about Bayern is they do tend to hoover up pretty much everybody, or they traditionally have always done that. But there's something about Neuer going there that does go slightly against the grain. I'm not quite sure how that will go down, but ultimately money talks, isn't it? I suppose it will depend on him, and I guess on how truculent Felix Magath is prepared to be in the transfer.
Yeah, so actually, while I was watching the Bayern Basel game this evening, one of the mentions on the commentary from Sky here in the UK was that they were referring to Thomas Kraft being in goal again, as you know, this is like an audition for him, because Hansjörg Butt is, you know, he's old, he's going to be on his way out, and you know, they've got this young keeper in waiting in the wings, so he needs a bit of experience, and you know, it's an audition to see whether or not he can crack it, or are they going to have to go out and buy Manuel Neuer? So, you know, there's well, another side to it there.
Everything, it all seems to be pointing to Neuer, perhaps, presumably in the summer. So we'll monitor that situation with a modicum of interest, insofar as transfer gossip is interesting. What we'll do is we'll move on, I think, to the next game, which we're going to talk about, which is Borussia Dortmund. The league leaders played Nuremberg and won 2-0, and they had to cope without the Panther, Lucas Barrios. We talked last week, John, about Robert Lewandowski's role in the team, and whether or not he'd be able to fill the shoes of the Panther, or maybe the claws. But he has lived up to expectations. Coach Jurgen Klopp gave him his first start, and he scored. And played very well and filled that role very nicely up front there.
I mean, I'd like to think that it had nothing to do with Jurgen Klopp, and it was all to do with the fact that he listened to last week's pod, and he felt the boys needing to step up to the plate here,
and he
delivered, basically, didn't he?
Well, he didn't want to let us down. And I'm sure he didn't want to let the 80,000 odd. Oh, it was actually at Nuremberg, wasn't it?
It was in the Frankenstadion, yes.
So it was a good place, I suppose, for him to start off. But he played very well, and he scored a good striker's goal. Had a bit of space, in fairness. But it's really quite pleasing to see a young player sort of like signed, you know, with a fair amount of money by Bundesliga terms, and be eased into the way that he has done. And it is nice for me, at least, to be right about something that I said last week. I think that's pretty much it. But I think it's also worth, you know, heaping praise on those two centre backs. Only 9 goals conceded in the Bundesliga by Borussia Dortmund this season. Hummels and Subotic doing a fantastic job there, and that is so much the story of their season so far. It's no wonder that they're autumn champions. You know, with what, 2 games to go.
Well, I think that with the defence. I mean, certainly against Nuremberg, I mean, in the first sort of 20 minutes, they were put under a bit of pressure, and they managed to cope with it. They were put under a bit of strain, but they dealt with it, and then they had Dortmund have this amazing ability to be able to then stretch the play out again, and you know, catch teams on the break. There's such crisp passing and really great movement from the whole team, and they then just looked like that they would. It was inevitable that they would get a goal and they would win the game. Even so, you know, all credit to Nuremberg. They put in a great effort, and they didn't play badly against them. It wasn't an absolutely outstanding performance, but they didn't play badly against Dortmund. But you know, even when they're not at their best, Dortmund are able to win 2-0, and it's no problem.
Yeah, indeed, and Dortmund. Still in the Europa League, still in with a shout of progressing to the Europa League, though. But they do have to go to Sevilla next Wednesday in order to have a chance of progressing to their next phase. So perhaps it's too late for them there. Why don't we move on? We were going to move straight on to part three, but we're going to talk about Cologne. We will do that in just 2 moments. But it's worth spending some time on Cologne's rivals, local rivals Gladbach. They lost at home again, this time to Hannover, and although a fantastic result for Hannover, and a fantastic performance particularly by Didier Jakonen, Raul Bobadilla got himself into a bit of bother, got himself sent off, and then ended up, well, getting himself into considerable trouble with the club as a consequence of what took place after the sending off. Why don't you tell us a bit more about that, John?
He's in a whole bunch of strife, really, basically, Bobadilla, and it was completely unnecessary. He clashed with Sergio Pinto, and Pinto's tackle, it was just a little bit niggly, really. So he got into a clash, and Pinto sort of got a little vice-like grip on his leg, so he can't really get away. Bobadilla gets upset about it, kicks out of it at him, gets a red card, quite rightly, then starts mouthing off at the fourth official, and by accounts that I've heard, then took it out on the dressing room as well. So, you know, he's completely thrown the toys out of the pram. He's, you know, smashed a little bit of the dressing room up, and as a result, he's going to be training with the reserve side for the rest of the year. He's been banned for 5 games anyway. And he's got a £50,000 fine. So,
ouch! Yeah,
you know, that's completely uncalled for. Really, when you consider that Gladbach have got real problems, you know, I really feel for them. I really feel for Mikel Fronsek. The fact that they're in a bad place, they really need all of their players, and one of them gets a 5-game ban and throws the toys out of the pram. It's just. You know, he doesn't have any hair, but if he did have any hair, Mikel Fronsek, he would be tearing it out, and quite rightly so.
He needs to get himself down to the Belgravia Centre and get himself some more hair so he can then tear it out in fury. Let's move on to matters Cologne. We wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on there. Obviously, quite recently, Zvonimir Soldo was dismissed from the club because, they were rubbish, basically, under him, and Frank Schaefer's come in. And they've shown a little bit of extra life. Podolski's been playing pretty well. But was it last week, wasn't it? It was Michael Meyer, the general manager, was sacked by the club. And so Cologne are in the market for a new general manager. And reports in the press this week are suggesting, and in fact, Cologne have confirmed that they have been talking to none other than Oliver Kahn. To replace him as general manager, and Bundesliga newbies should just note that the general manager is more like a kind of sporting director role rather than the head coach, which is Frank Schaefer, who's a caretaker at the moment, whether or not he'll stay there. So that could be interesting. It's been suggested that Kahn would move into that kind of general manager role in the past, not necessarily with Cologne, but there would be an interesting return for the big man.
Well, yes, there was a suggestion at one point he was up for the job at Wolfsburg, I think it was. Maybe am I wrong now? I can't quite remember. I think it, but when Felix Magath was first went to Wolfsburg, I think that Kahn may have had was interviewed for the job. But when Magath went there, he takes this sort of massive overarching role at every club that he goes to.
Yeah,
and doing that at Schalke as well.
He's a Svengali, isn't he, Magath, rather than a sort of like a working within a particular structure. Like
exactly. So this does seem to be something that he has an interest in. And I mean, let's be fair. Oliver Kahn is a winner. I mean, absolutely a winner. He's completely uncompromising. I think the best story I ever heard about Oliver Kahn, I think I've read it in the book Tor, the great book on German football, where it's described about how when he was doing, I think it was like a charity kids penalty shootout, and he refused to let 5-year-olds score against him. So, you know, this is somebody who just wants to win so badly. So
he's a bit like competitive dad from the Fast Show.
Yeah, absolutely. So in one respect, I don't think that Cologne could have anybody better, you know, coming in. So, you know, there is potential.
I mean,
there.
Assuming, of course, that he has the credentials and the skills and competencies that, you know, are required of a general manager, then yeah, it does sound like a good move for Cologne. Certainly a very high profile one. But I suppose that still perhaps leaves the question about Schaefer's position. Is he there for the long term? My impression is that he isn't. And a head coach would need to be, presumably, if Kahn was to take over, his first job would be to make a decision about the head coach. And it's worth pointing out that a new £500 gorilla has arrived in the shape of Martin Jol, who's a big man, who's just left Ajax. Do you suppose that there might be a place for him at Cologne or maybe Stuttgart, who also have a caretaker manager?
I really like Martin Jol.
Who doesn't?
He was such great value.
Well, he's a big cuddly Dutchman, let's be honest.
He is. He's really great value. I mean, I have to say this, it is like, as it's been pointed out, I'm a St. Pauli fan, so he was the highest foul manager, but I still couldn't bring myself to dislike him, even so he was highest foul coach, because he is such a lovely guy. He's really good, great comedy value, and his teams play some good football as well, so that would be a good place for him in Cologne. I think that what really needs to happen is that there would have to be a massive overhaul there. Just a huge overhaul. And they haven't got any money.
No.
They are in sort of a reasonable amount of debt. So this is the problem that I see potentially with Cologne. They haven't got any money. That you bring in Oliver Kahn, who would be able to attract big name players, you'd think he would be able to persuade people to come to the club, but with that comes cash, you know. Yeah. and the needing to outlay cash, and I'm sure that Martin Jol doesn't come particularly cheap either.
Well, no,
but
certainly not.
Having said that, also, you know, I'd like to think that a club like Cologne, which is a massive club, is, you know, 50,000 people turn up at the Rhein-Energie Stadion every week, and they're so passionate, the fans in Cologne, and they deserve a little bit of success, but I just fear it may cost them a little bit too dear if they do.
Yeah, no, I'd go with that. I mean, I mean, it may well be that I think Martin Jol, in fairness, I think he only has eyes for England, I mean, he very nearly walked out on Ajax in the close season to go to Fulham, and with the greatest respect to Fulham, I mean, they are, you know, not the biggest club in England, but he was happy to go there. So it may well be that the next place we'll see Martin Jol will be on these shores. But hey, you know,
hey,
Martin Jol at Cologne, you heard it here first.
Well, a bit of idle speculation, but I'd like to see him on the banks of the Rhine. I think that would be good to see him back in the Bundesliga.
Indeed. And we'll leave it there, I think, for part two anyway. Part three is just around the corner, and we'll be looking forward to the penultimate round of the Bundesliga fixtures before the winter break is upon us. No question about the big game of the weekend. Werder Bremen, conquerors of Inter, against league leaders Borussia Dortmund. John, both of these teams provide excellent value, even if Werder have lacked a bit of consistency, quite a lot of consistency over the season so far. And so BVB will be hot favourites. But I think that Bremen, given their most recent form, are quite capable of getting a result. What do you think?
Well, I think the most amazing thing about their recent form is that they haven't conceded a goal in three games, which, go back about a month, we thought that that was sort of nigh on impossible for Bremen to do, because they were just all over the place, weren't they, frankly?
Yeah.
And, you know, they weren't scoring, they were conceding loads, you know, everything was the world was falling apart around Thomas Schaaf's ears. But, you know, they've got a couple of positive results. I mean, honestly, we said this last week, though, didn't we? I'm a bit reticent to put the prediction out there, but I'm going to say it. Dortmund are going to win this one. They're going to sign off, I think, with the last two games with victories and see out the winter season in fine style. But I reckon there's a goal in there from Bremen. Yeah.
I think that certainly given last week's performance by Dortmund and the fact that Lewandowski appears to have just slipped into place without too many problems as a starter, we'll see Dortmund fare. But there will be a few question marks about the reshaped attack without Barrios. So it's possible that Bremen can get a goal. Having said that, of course, we were talking about Dortmund's defence, so it is very, very robust. So I think we could be looking at a 0-0 here. Another clean sheet for Bremen.
Well, I mean, I really hope it's not a 0-0 draw like the one against Wolfsburg, to be perfectly
honest.
Yeah,
no, well, let's hope not. Well, I mean, Almeida is out. He's back on suspension. He played yesterday in the Champions League, but he's out. And not only did he score, but he also created an assist for Arnautovic. So he's going to be a big miss for Bremen. Hopefully, goodness me, we won't be in for another unload. We'll talk about Wolfsburg in a minute, but God, that was a shocking game, that was. Another eye-catching fixture, Hamburg against Leverkusen. Hamburg full of quality, but not making it click. At the moment, Armin Wey is still there. But his opposite number, Jupp Heynckes, I would imagine would be fairly confident of getting 3 points at the Volksparkstadion. What do you reckon?
Well, at home is where Hamburg play their best football, their most consistent football. I mean, on the road, they really haven't done well at all. I'm just going to have a look now. I think that this is a four. The result against Freiburg was four away defeats in a row for Hamburg. So it's very frustrating for them. And I actually thought, from what I saw of that game, is that they created a lot of chances and they were a bit unlucky to lose, really, Hamburg in that game. You know, Ruud van Nistelrooy had some chances. I think that Heung-min Son had a good chances, a couple of good chances as well. So, as we've mentioned, there is quality in there, but they're so inconsistent. Hamburg fans, you must be really, really frustrated by this team, and you can see that Armin Wey is again one of those managers that is tearing his hair out, because there is so much quality in there. There really is. Against Leverkusen, though, we know that team is packed with quality. But I don't know. I think that Hamburg can. They do have what it takes to pull this one off. I mean, most definitely. They've got goals in them. If they can shore up at the back, I mean, they conceded two goals at home last time out, which they really shouldn't have done. So they won 4-2, but they really should have run out
yeah,
comfortable winners.
I think
in that
it's
one,
fair
I think.
To say that, because that could easily have been a 4-0, couldn't it?
Exactly.
They scored six goals in the last two games at home. So you'd think that, and that was against Stuttgart and Hoffenheim. They've been they have lost on the road, but I mean, they're looking at the teams they've lost to. Obviously, Freiburg are in a very, very good place at the moment.
I mean, especially at home, they are in a very, very good place
at
home.
As were Hannover 3 weeks ago, and indeed, of course, Dortmund 4 weeks ago when they went there. So they've caught teams from their point of view when they've gone on the road at the worst possible time to catch them when they're in a really, really good place. So the fixtures, it's reasonable to argue, haven't been too kind to them. But Bayer Leverkusen are a very, very good side, you know, anyway. And so I would say still very capable of doing it. But yeah, you may well be onto something there. Collectively, we reckon a home win on that one then, do we?
Yeah, I think that there is actually a home win in there. I mean, it might be a little bit controversial to say about that, because Leverkusen are, you know, they are an absolutely cracking side. There's a lot going on there. Barnasta was great against Cologne. Sydney Sam was actually quite quiet by his standards, but Vidal was pretty good as well, and Renato Augusto. You know, there's a lot packed in there. I mean, Simon Rolfes came off the bench as well, so that there is some great players in that side, and Leverkusen are where they are because they've ground out results and they've got the points that they need. Well, Hamburg have been patchy, but this could be the game where Hamburg actually show a bit of class and show the team that they really are.
Indeed. Let's move on to Wolfsburg. They're going to Kaiserslautern. I'm sure they have no idea what to expect when they arrive there. Die Wölfe are not in terribly good shape at the moment. A disappointing draw against Bremen last weekend, and a display of what could we call it, petulance from their captain, Edin Dzeko, after spooning a penalty over the bar. Steve McLaren chose to substitute him for his own reasons, and Dzeko, not happy, made it terribly clear to McLaren while walking off the pitch. Didn't exactly chuck his captain's armband away, but passed it to the nearest Wolfsburg player in so doing, and indeed I think it's possible even had a few words to say to Dieter Hernes, the general manager, which is terribly serious. I don't think you want to be doing that. Coaches come and go, but general managers don't. So it's not looking good for Dzeko. He's apologised, apparently. I believe he may even have been fined or perhaps made a charitable donation. What do we think is going on there? Agitating for a move, or do you just think he just got fed up because he played really, really badly? What do you reckon the story is with that, then?
Well, there's been all kinds of stories about where Dzeko might turn up next. Just listening to the Guardian's great football podcast, Raphael Honigstein was saying that he could be angling for a move to a number of places. And let's be honest, if anybody knows, Raphael knows, because he's on it.
Well, yeah, I mean, Raphael was on. There is people don't realise there is another Bundesliga podcast, which is called the Bundesliga Podcast, which I listen to, is very good. And Raphael was on that one. Raphael Honigstein was on that one, and he reckons that the story goes like this: Papis Demba Cisse is going to replace Dzeko at Wolfsburg when Dzeko goes to Bayern, and it's likely that that will happen in the summer. But that's the full story that Raphael Honigstein is going to. So it's a very juicy piece of gossip, because it's like a little pebble in the lake, isn't it? It sort of like expands out very beautifully. How true it is, of course, we'll find out. But suggesting therefore that if that's the case, then Dzeko is not agitating for a move. He probably just had a really, really bad day, and he's got an opportunity to make up for it though against Kaiserslautern, because they will give him chances.
Well, absolutely, they will. And if there's any game that he's going to bounce back in, then there is a chance against Kaiserslautern.
For sure.
For Kaiserslautern, it's like that. Well, neither they nor St. Pauli had a great game last Friday night. They didn't cover themselves with glory. Oh, yeah, certainly,
That was a dog of a game, wasn't it?
It was a dog of a game.
No, it was obviously the right result for you, but yeah,
absolutely.
Hard work. It's got to be said.
Well, an own goal is, take it anywhere it comes. That's the way I look at it.
Exactly.
Anyway, but back to Dzeko. It's like, yes, we know that he's an absolutely top quality striker. So if he can get his head sorted out, then scoring against Kaiserslautern should be no problem. Steve McLaren is playing it down, as you'd expect.
Yeah, for sure.
Saying that there's no problem, and I'm sure that Dieter Hernes has been trying to sort things out in the background. So I have high hopes that before he moves, we might actually see some more greatness from Edin Dzeko, because I think it would be a real shame if he left the Bundesliga under a cloud. If he's off to Bayern, we may see lots more glorious years of Edin Dzeko scoring goals in the Bundesliga.
Definitely.
However, if he goes off to Real Madrid or anywhere else, I think that one of the other rumours is that he was going to be off to Italy. Perhaps that was another rumour that was flying around, he was suggesting what was the quote? I can't remember that. Some of the players at Wolfsburg were teaching him a few words of Italian. That was in the papers a few weeks ago. So I just hope that we can see the best of Edin Dzeko before what seems like a departure that is set to happen actually happens. And why not start it at the weekend?
Absolutely. It is all worth also just very briefly just pointing out that Dzeko, who has made it clear that he would like to go, and almost went to, I think, Milan, not last close season, the close season before, but has always behaved impeccably and accepted the situation at Wolfsburg when they said that they don't want to sell him, and indeed signed a new contract. So just worth pointing that out, that he's got a good reputation there, so I'm sure it was probably just a little spat, and all be forgiven if he bags a hat-trick against Lautern at the weekend. But I think, John, we've taken up enough of the listeners' time. As we hope very much that you enjoyed this week's Bundesliga show, and we would like you to get in touch with us and tell us whether you have or whether you haven't, and also if you have anything that you'd like to add. if you'd like, that's anything to talk about over the next few weeks during the winter break, we'll be happy to do that. Any suggestions that you have whatsoever, any feedback, contact details, that would be me. I'm Bundesbag on Twitter, and John is Bundesliga World on Twitter. Blog wise, I'm bundesbag.com and John is bundesligaworld.blogspot.com. And I think that's it. Any other ways? Yeah, we've got an email address, haven't we, John? It's bundesligaworld@footballfairground.com. So you can contact us that way as well. Have you checked our inbox?
I haven't.
No, neither have I. All right, so if you've sent us an email, we'll probably kind of read it now. Really sorry about that. We didn't actually get round to checking the inbox. But the Twitter's the best way to get in touch with us because we're always on it.
I think that, you know, definitely now, the listeners now knowing that we haven't checked the inbox, you know.
Now's their chance.
But now's the chance. Yeah. Check whether or not we've checked the inbox by sending us an email. And if we don't mention you next week,
then you'll know.
You know that we haven't checked the inbox, which just means that we're lazy.
This is true. You know, I think we better go. So anyway, till next time, which will be next week, from myself and from John. See you then. Goodbye.